You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Just discussing like a few minutes ago of trying to decipher the plot of Kingsglaive Final Fantasy 15, and we're still fucking confused.
Yep.
I really don't know what happened. There was a lot of pretty stuff.
It was nice to look at.
There were some cool action scenes, a lot of cool fight scenes, a lot of Final Fantasy type Dragon Ball Z type fights, which is always, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. It's entertaining.
That's cool.
But I don't know really who any of these people are, what was happening.
Why it was happening.
They kind of do a Dune-type opening, like the film Dune, where they explain the world and what's going on, and you're still just completely fucking lost, and you don't know what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, but yes, if everyone who's still with us. I am Chris Herman. I'm joined by John Romo. And yeah, we're here to talk about Kingsglaive Final Fantasy 15, which
in a sweet crossover with We Are Era.
Yes, in a crossover with the main reviews and of course our wonderful, wonderful video game show We Are Era. I don't know. The thing is, this movie it starts with 20 minutes of just exposition of telling you what the hell happened to all these characters. And I guess, you know, some of the characters that you meet are pretty cool. You got, what the hell is his name? Regis Lucius
Callum.
And he's the king of the Lucian government. I get it? Because his name's Regis?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? It's Regis. Funny because it's Regis. Yeah, and apparently his kingdom is being taken over by the bad guys, or the Nilfheims, the Nilf Guardians, whatever, you know. They're trying to take over his kingdom, and they've been taking over territory for many, many years. You also have Aaron Paul as Nix Ulrich, who is one of the Kingsglaive in question. It's probably maybe the title of the movie refers to him, and this kind of order of soldiers who use the king's magic, which protects his city and empire,
but is also but
it's also fueling. Not his magic. There's like a giant crystal in it.
Yeah, which we kind of forget about the crystal halfway through
the
movie.
Yeah,
you just reminded me that crystal was there.
I just remembered the crystal. Yeah, people. There's like a giant crystal in the middle of the city.
But there's a more important ring.
There's a the ring. You're right. There's a ring that has them
that kills you if you aren't worthy.
It only kills
or if you barter with the kings.
Well, it breaks its own logic because it's like only the people who have the Sean Bean. Oh, but yeah. By the way, did we say that Sean Bean voices his character?
No,
Sean Bean voices the king character. What the hell, is Lucius? Right, and he's actually probably the best out of everyone in the film in terms of like a vocal performance. Like he's Sean Bean it up. He's doing the whole Boromir. He's doing the Ned Stark. It's like I would believe this guy is going to be a great king.
Yeah. He delivers it with gravitas.
yes, it does. Maybe I don't want to be aligned with him for long. I don't want to be his bodyguard in that situation because it typically doesn't end up very well.
I don't know. You get a sweet black jacket.
You, man.
And the power to teleport. And the power to teleport. Nightcrawler is my favorite X-Men. So if I get to teleport like Nightcrawler with a sweet-ass knife, okay.
Yeah, I would join it, except you're fighting giant CGI demons and
kaiju,
insects. And, yeah, basically kaiju. Here's the thing, like all the ridiculous like plot and these characters, which Aaron Paul is in and he plays a soldier. You got Lena Headey as his princess, who is basically being used as a pawn in this plot to take over the Regis's the Lucian the last city, the stronghold, whatever. What it comes right down to it is that this movie is just really it's a cutscene. It's a cutscene from a video game, mm-hmm. A video game that doesn't have a particularly good story. At all, because again, we completely forgot about. Like, John brought up the ring, and there's a giant crystal. You know, all that doesn't matter.
And, like, we're not joking.
No.
We, right before we started recording, we were kind of having a loud argument about what actually the fuck is going on in this movie.
Yeah, because the thing is, they do the whole the Dune thing, where they just drop you into this world. You don't know what's going on. You don't particularly care about any of these characters, because you don't really get to know any of them. And when they some of these characters do eventually get knocked off, you know, in typical... Not so typical, but kind of in graphic fashion. You don't feel anything. It's just like, I don't remember what your name is. Who are you? You have all these other characters that are sad, you know. But at the end of the day, it's just like, it's just these wonderful CGI action cutscenes when you have these characters fighting creatures from the Final Fantasy lore. Like some of these demons that you see in it. And like some of the like the bug-like creatures and these kind of manticore, Cerberus-type monsters. These are in chocobos. You get a chocobo reference in here, Final Fantasy fans, because you always do that. Actually, no one's riding them, but they're all eating them. All the characters are eating the chocobos, which I love it. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's just a really, well choreographed cutscene, and you get some excellent fight scenes, particularly I think towards the end where it basically becomes the final act of Man of Steel, except probably filmed better, and where you have these. Basically two characters destroying a city.
And it does do that thing where it, like, it zooms out, but shows the characters obviously punching each other. Mm-hmm. You know, something inspired by Dragon Ball Z.
Basically. Oh, it's totally DBZ, yeah. I mean, Goku and Piccolo are upset. Vegeta, Prince Vegeta, he's not happy about this. Kakarot. These guys' power levels, whatever.
For
Nips,
sure,
Nox,
over 9,000.
They are definitely over 9,000, but... Yeah, I just... The thing is... I can't really say I hated the film, though, because the circumstances I was in, it was very late at night. I probably finished watching this movie like around 2 a.m. I may have been drinking a little bit, and I may have been tired, and I didn't know what was going on. Oh, there's also a giant octopus in the film as well, for some reason. He's on a...
Not explained, but it's
not
there.
Not explained, he's there. He's
How's it fit in the
he's
box?
He's on a blimp.
Whatever.
No, they can, octopus, they can get into like really tight spaces. But yeah, I've lost my train of thought, much like the movie. But... Oh, yeah, while I was watching, I was a little drunk and sleepy. I was just like, you know what, this is just fun to look at. That's really all it is. To me, it's kind of like an homage trailer that, like, a YouTube creator would create. Like, oh, this is my fan video of a Final Fantasy, these characters, these cutscenes, and we have some cool music playing. We have this, you know, cool battle scene. It's like, oh, yeah, that was entertaining. And I think people who are excited... for like Final Fantasy 15, I think they'll get a kick out of this because it is a parallel or a prequel or a parallel story. They're not Square Enix, who's the studio behind this, and there's a bunch of directors on this movie and a bunch of like people who are involved with this, and they're all Japanese names, and I can't bring myself to butcher them. I'm sorry, but I can't read them off because we'll be here all night. But I think this movie is just made for those fans who have been waiting for this game. For over a decade, you know, people forget Final Fantasy 15 was, I think, announced in 2005 or 2006. It was originally supposed to be a PlayStation 3 title, and
yeah, it was originally Versus 13.
It was Versus 13. That's right, and it obviously I imagine that game got canceled, and they probably had many, many different versions of 15 before they finally settled on, you know, the douchey boy band. Which I'm not very excited for Final Fantasy 15. We'll definitely play it, I think, for one of our shows.
Do we have to?
I think we have to.
God.
Yeah, I think that'll be a fun review. Because I think it's that kind of game where you're just morbidly curious. It's like, I'm morbidly curious about The Last Guardian, because that thing has been in production so long, and there's no reason why it should have been.
I was morbidly curious about Final Fantasy 13, played for an hour, and was like, this sucks.
John, it gets better when
after
you hit
hour
30. 40.
I get it. I get hour it. 30, yeah. Freaking Japanese RPG.
Two hours too many. But it's, yeah, again, it's just, but while I was sitting laying in my bed, you know, slightly
inebriated,
I was just like, yeah, it's fine. It's entertaining for what it is. It's not something I'll probably ever watch again. It's not something that I'm going to... I already forgotten major plot points in it. There's a... Like you said, there's a ring.
I brought
a
up to you that this is about a marriage.
And you're...
There's
a marriage.
And you were just like, what? No, it's not. It's like, yeah. That's the whole point. That's why the princess is there.
So Prince Regis says, oh, yeah, if you want peace between our two empires or whatever, you need to marry your son, who's on the road trip for some reason.
I don't understand why, because that opening scene has him pushing his son in a wheelchair.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, but I mean, like, why is his son not with him?
Because he's in the boy band.
And why was that girl with them? I thought, my initial thought was, oh, they're brother and sister. And then they're like, oh,
Princess
they're getting
Freya?
They're like, oh, they're getting married. And I was like, so they're
she's
not,
like a toddler.
So they're not brother and sister? And it's just all very confusing. And like we said, you forgot that was a plot point.
Yeah, I completely forgot. I was just like, let's just watch Aaron Paul fight stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's Aaron Paul, by the way.
Yeah, Aaron Paul, he plays Knox. What's it? Knox,
Nix.
Right? Nix.
Oh, good job. There we go.
Nix, Knox, it doesn't matter. It's a name that doesn't make sense. And the thing is, I mean, you watch it and you hear it. I wouldn't even, if someone had not told me that was Aaron Paul, or had I not read it on the box, I would have no idea who that was. Yeah. I would have been, well, as a voice actor for
some
guy. Does these video games. But, yeah, his performance just kind of comes off very, you know, really boring. Honestly, and then when he's not fighting, I don't particularly care for him. There's this whole kind of backstory to him where he comes from one of the regions that was protected by the Sean Bean's empire. I don't know the fucking character's name anymore.
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that. The Kingsglaive are mad at Sean Bean because something.
Well, the Kingsglaive, most of these people were, like, they were orphans or everyone that lost their homes, like... The Nilf Guardians.
Every time you say that, I think you're saying MILF.
The MILF Guardians. Basically, you know, the bad guys took over all of Sean Bean's lands, and they basically kicked out all these people. They murdered a bunch of people using demons, using horrible, horrible technology. And these soldiers, the Kingsglaive, have agreed to then, you know, pledge their lives to the king and to what's left of his empire to basically fight to get revenge. But they all are kind of bitter about it because that's really all they are. They're weapons at the end of the day. They're expendable weapons. And we see that in the opening cutscene, I want to say, one of the opening scenes in the movie. And again, it's really cool seeing them, like John said, using their magic and how they're, like, the teleportation eyes is, like, really cool. It's, like, this cool kind of, like, disappearing effect, and it's, like embers and ash and stuff. It's
and
like,
with okay. has an electricity to
yeah,
it,
electricity
I think
part
really
to
cool.
it as well. Again, visually stunning. And then you get, like, you know, this typical magic where one of the characters and these other people, like, make a giant a fire cyclone to fight one of these demons. It's like, oh, this is pretty to look at. But, yeah, I mean, their whole story is they're mad at the king because, again, they're just treated as kind of weapons, and that breeds resentment, and which leads to betrayal. And there's, like, a plot twist in the one point in the film. I'm thinking, oh, okay, I guess that character's bad now. And I guess because it's established because he's part of the Kingsglaive, and he's, like, a Nilfgaardian guy. The Nilfgaardians, and he's trying to fight, and he's like, I need the ring. Give me the ring. I'm not going to give you the ring. You're not worthy. Blah, 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 blah. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And at the end of the day, yeah, you're just kind of left with that. I mean, it really, it's a plot of a DBZ film. It's like if you had dropped someone in who had no, like, prior history of DBZ. Like, I'm talking about, like, even the original Dragon Ball anime or DBZ or GT or Super right now.
No,
you just said, we're going to let you watch Resurrection of Frieza. And it's just like, I have no idea what's happening. Who's Frieza? What's going? Power levels? Vegeta? Goku? Krillin? You know?
But that has a lot more energy to it.
Yamcha? Fuck
Yamcha. Something like that has a lot more energy, whereas, like you said with Aaron Paul's performance, it's just kind of like, I don't know.
He's just pretty, he's pretty much there.
And I think that's kind of like this attitude that a lot of the characters have, mm-hmm. just in general, and that could be the way Final Fantasy XV has been coming across for me, actually. It just seems like teens not really caring.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Noctis seems so just like, I don't know. Gonna get married, I guess.
Yeah. I don't think, that's the thing, like, is he even aware?
Just put the top down.
I don't think he's even aware he's getting married.
Dude,
again,
let's just roll, bruh.
Yeah, I mean, the end of this film, we're gonna spoil it. I don't want to spoil it, because people might be into this, but the thing, it leads into, I mean, it's a prequel, it leads into Final Fantasy XV, where something really, really bad happens to a bunch of characters, and the situation calls for it, where they need to get Noctis back from the boy band and his road trip, because you gotta take responsibility for your shit. Stuff's falling apart. And so I imagine that's what will be. I imagine what happens in this movie will have a great effect on him personally, mm-hmm. particularly what happens to members of his family and his the legacy that he has to carry and things like that.
Oh, none of that registered with me.
No, it doesn't, because we haven't met him yet.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I'll spoil this because I don't care. And you won't care either when you see this. There's an end credits stinger in this film, which is, I don't think, did you see this, John? Did you watch
it? Yeah, I fast-forwarded because you mentioned it to me.
Yeah. at the
it's end, just a cutscene
end of
game.
The credits. It's yeah, you have a cutscene from the video game where it's the actual character models from the game, and it's very jarring from going from watching these really beautiful scenes in this film to then this really just janky looking characters in the game, and it's like, wow, that ooh. I didn't need that.
And it still doesn't look bad. It's more like going
no,
from...
No, but it's like going from, like, wow to, you know, good.
It's like going from 4K to, like, 1080i.
I don't know like about that, man. I think it was... all these resolutions and everything. I don't know. It, to me, it felt jarring. And then you get those fucking characters in that car. The blonde guy. I don't know his name, but he is one of the, that, you know, not to insult the voice actor, but from what I've heard, it's like nails on a goddamn chalkboard. I'm sorry. It's just, it's not very good, but... Just to kind of give my final thoughts on the entire film. Again, if you like Final Fantasy, no, I'm gonna go back on that because I was originally a Final Fantasy fan back in the day, 4, 5, and 6. Like I've said on many podcasts before, I think those games are great. I stand by that. I think they have great stories. 7 is a very good game. I think it's a little overrated, but from after 7, you know 8 on, I should say, there's really the franchise has just been it's been shit. Or at least, not maybe not shit like 8 and 9, but just like, they never managed to recapture what I felt was so special about 4, 5, and 6, and even to some extent 7. And with this film, while I certainly liked it just because it was pretty and it had great explosions and action scenes, you just don't really care about... And yeah, you can have a nice Final Fantasy reference, you know, of the Chocobos or these, you know, Magitek or whatever, or Magicka. And it's like, okay, that's fun. I appreciate that. But in the day, it's like, I don't like this world. I don't like these characters aside from Sean Bean. And I'm just kind of left feeling like, yeah, okay, whatever. I guess I'll play the game and we'll see if that plays into it. And I expect it probably won't. So I think I'd probably have to give this, 5 out of 10 missing rings.
Yeah, I feel basically how I felt about Final Fantasy VII Advent Children to a lesser extent with
right,
this film.
Right.
Because I don't remember anything about Advent Children.
I don't either.
Except that Cloud is cool and he fights Sephiroth, who is cool, and the battle looks cool. Vincent Valentine's in the movie. He looks cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of about all I remember about this movie, and or what I will remember next week is, man, these black outfits are pretty sweet looking.
I love
the teleportation, and those shields are nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't remember these characters. I won't remember why they're doing anything, and I'm already so disinterested in Final Fantasy 15 that there is no sort of tie to it.
Yeah.
But I will say something that sort of angered me about the movie is... And I joked about this before. There's only two female characters. One is barely in the movie. The other is a main character, but is treated like a side piece the entire time. There's even a moment
in the
movie.
Like an object.
Yeah, there's even a moment in the movie where she's like gonna do something, and Nyx just goes, "No, I'm the hero."
Yeah.
Go sit in the corner, little girl.
Oh, yeah, that's the
and
Nick
I was like,
hero
the fuck is this? And it's like, we've seen it in Final Fantasy 15 already where they super sexualize Cid because they just need boobs in the game.
Yeah,
I'm going to calm down, but yeah. I'm just saying, you got to fix shit because it's 2016. Like, come on. But this movie, I don't know, 4 out of 10 social justice warrior opinion.
So, okay. I'm interested to see what the reaction is. I can't fucking talk. I'm so confused, John. I'm so confused.
Also, another added layer of hate I have towards this movie is I want Kingdom Hearts 3, and this whole franchise is the reason I don't have that yet.
Oh, John, you'll get Kingdom Hearts 3 in, like, 2025.